Sarah Polley has been an actress for quite some time. She started as a kid at 4. She was on a TV series in her homeland of Canada, moved on to film, The Sweet Hereafter, Go, Dawn of the Dead, and then moved behind the camera to write and direct Away From Her, starring Julie Christie as a woman whose affliction with Alzheimer's disease shows the beautiful and the dark side of lifelong romance. In this clip, this sophisticated, vibrant couple discuss her future at basically a nursing home.
This is the document you're supposed to sign if you decide to go to Meadow Lake.
That is exactly what I have decided. You were to go and sign these and leave them there.
I wouldn't be allowed to visit you for 30 days.
Isn't such a long time after 44 years.
I don't think I like the place.
I don't think we should be looking for something we like, Grant. I don't think we'll ever find that. I think all we can aspire to in this situation is a little bit of grace.
Away From Her has earned rave reviews, and its director, Sarah Polley, is in Manhattan this week to pick up an award from the New York Film Critics for Best First Film. Sarah Polley joins us in the studio.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hey, congrats on your award.
Thank you very much.
That must be very satisfying. I know people don't do it for the awards, but they're not bad.
No, and this was actually a really particularly nice award to win because the film really picked up momentum from the New York critics getting behind it. So it was really meaningful in that sense. I think that the film had a much larger life than it would have without them. So
now the genesis of it was you read a short story by Alice Munro. Now, what was it about that short story that made you think, okay, this is the right first film for me to make, because it's a thick subject.
Yeah, I mean, when I read the story, I actually didn't think it was a good first film to make. It was a film that I wanted to make one day, and I thought that would be quite a ways down the road. I had just become friends with Julie Christie. We'd worked together as actors on a film. And when I read the story, I couldn't stop imagining her face in this part. And I think, you know, probably a big reason that I wanted to make it into a film was to sort of see her play this part, because I'd never seen her play anything like this, and I just think she's such a brilliant actor who really undermines her own worth a lot of the time. So it was such a pleasure to see her play this part.
One of the things I think is interesting about seeing you direct her is Julie Christie's just beautiful. Mm. I mean, she's a great actress, but her looks are so striking. Is she naturally that beautiful? I know it's sort of an off-topic question, but as you're watching this film, you're like, gosh, this woman is stunning.
Yeah, it's a bit bewildering, and actually for this part, we did our best to kind of minimize that. I mean, we weren't trying to make her look ugly, but, you know, it's distracting how beautiful she is and also how sort of absurdly young she looks for her age. So in a strange way, we were kind of like trying to make her, we were trying to age her a few years for the film. And it's amazing once you start shooting her, you just keep moving the camera closer and closer by instinct, so that the whole film ended up being these like extreme close-ups of her face.
I'm curious, the way that you see her deteriorate is very subtle in the movie. She's very beautifully kept early in the film, and then her hair starts to become a little more disheveled and her clothing not quite as chic. I'm wondering about the subtlety in describing and visually describing Alzheimer's disease. Did you research a lot? Do you know someone with Alzheimer's?
I spent a lot of time in a retirement facility with my grandmother, who may have had some form of dementia in the last sort of year of her life, but it's, you know, it was never really clear. But I got to know that environment very well, and I became really obsessed with it, and the details of it and the nuances and how little attention we pay as a society to these environments that most of us will probably end up in at some point. So I was fascinated by that, and then I did a lot of research into the disease itself. And there, there's a book called The Forgetting by David Schenck that was hugely influential on me, and a lot of the tone and the spirit of that book sort of made its way into the film, as well as Alice Munro's short story.
It's interesting you talk about the environment, because one of the scenes that really got to me, we're going to play a clip from it, is when her husband first visits the facility to sort of see what it's about and what it's like. And his reaction to it is so strong. Let's play that clip.
This is our second floor, the extended care wing. The elevators, of course, have the lockdown system, and this is where the patients can move to once they become more progressed.
Interesting choice of words.
Why don't I show you some of the rooms here while we're at it? Then we can go back down and see the regular rooms where Mrs. Anderson will be living.
No, that will not be necessary. My wife will not be progressing to this floor.
All right.
Oh, that just gets you when you understand that what he's going through watching his wife deteriorate.
Mm. And I think, you know, for so many spouses and caregivers, there's this sense of really wanting to deny the progress of the disease. It's just, it's too hard to imagine when someone you love is so kind of alive and engaged and viable that they could possibly progress to the point where the people, you know, visually in that clip that he's seeing on the second floor who are very progressed in terms of the disease.
You work with some very experienced actors here, not just Julie Christie, but also Gordon Pinsent, and who does a fantastic job in this film, and Olympia Dukakis. Were you at all intimidated by working with actors with so much more experience than you?
I was. I mean, the great advantage was they were all friends and huge supporters and mentors to me. And every main character in this film, I wrote the part for a specific actor. And so I knew them all very well, and I felt a great deal of support for them. And also, you know, from people like Julie and Olympia, a real invitation to become engaged with their process and to, you know, enter into a dialogue about how I could become involved in their performance. So they really opened that door for me, which is one that I think would have been sort of difficult to walk through without an invitation when I'm working with actors of that experience.
I don't want to give too much away for people who haven't seen the film, but there are points in the film when you give glimpses of a backstory to this relationship between this husband and a wife, because it seems so idyllic on the surface, but then you realize there are cracks in the relationship as well. And it's alluded to very subtly, but I wondered if you ever, when you were writing, were you ever tempted to flesh out that part of the story? Because it's attractive as a viewer, like, yeah. Well, what happened to them? What happened back then?
No, absolutely. And I think that, you know, that for me is what ultimately the film is about. It's about the story of this marriage and how it survived and what happens to it now with, you know, this incredible loss of someone's memory. And I wanted to leave it a little bit oblique. What I didn't want it to become was a film about people who are in their 60s and 70s, and it's constantly flashing back to them when they're really, really young and pretty to sort of justify making the film about older people, which is what I find a little bit offensive. In a lot of films that deal with, you know, people who are older, we cast like young movie stars to sort of take up the majority of the screen time so that it's more marketable, so that, you know, it's...
Notebook, excuse me? I'm sorry.
Did you say something?
There's actually a lot of films that do that. And so it was something I was really determined to avoid. I felt like what was important was who they were now. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the sort of literal aspect of what happened in their life was a lot less interesting and a lot less important than the way they remembered it and the way they affected it now, that those memories affected them now. So I left the memories very, very brief and very subjective, and wanted to keep the story really in the realm of them in the present.
We're having a conversation with Sarah Polley. She directed the film Away From Her. And Daniel, let you pick on up.
Well, these are very austere, very northern, stiff upper lip type of people. Was there ever a temptation to say, let's show them freaking out? Did you write them intentionally as not being freak out prone people?
Yeah, I mean, I was really determined to have a certain amount of restraint in the film, just because I think sort of once you go there with this kind of subject matter, you sort of cross a threshold and you can never really come back from it in a way. It goes into the maudlin, it goes into the sentimental. And I feel like there's a huge range and a huge spectrum of how people deal with grief and loss. The one we constantly show people in film are these histrionics. And I think it makes a lot of us feel inadequate if that's not how we respond to grief. I know that was certainly in my life, in, you know, with grief that I've experienced. Movies have always played this adversarial role with me where I feel like I'm not having the reaction I should be. It's always really important to me when I see films where people are containing things and restraining things and having an internal process with it that isn't quite as cinematic, maybe.
Let's listen to an example of this. This is a scene when Julie Christie's character is at the home. She's moved in and her husband has to leave her.
Thank you, Mrs. Montpellier. Now, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to say goodbye to my husband. We haven't been apart for a month for the last 44 years. It could be quite something.
Please, Fiona.
Grant.
Fiona.
You know what I'd like? I'd like to make love. And then I'd like you to go. Because I need to stay here, and if you make it hard for me, I might cry so hard I'll never stop.
It's interesting. When I was watching the film and I was thinking about, oh, what audio can we play? It became a little bit difficult,
yeah,
because so much of the film is visual. The people who are in the home, the faces of this couple, their reaction to each other. Was that intentional when you were writing it, or did you, the director, say, wow, this writer really put me in a situation where I have to visually represent this?
Yeah, I mean, it's strange. I think it's kind of my sensibility. I really love the moments in films where people are silent and you're just watching something transpire with someone in a silent moment. But it's strange, like, now that you've been playing clips, I've been thinking about that. I mean, there aren't that many choices in the film of clips where people are saying that much, or the pauses are sort of interminable. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of listening to this going, wow, I can't believe you found these clips.
We're talking with Sarah Polley about her movie, Away From Her. Now, are you're still acting, though, yes?
I am, yeah. I've been acting, actually, for the most of this year, sort of like, you know, get back acquainted with that side of my life.
And you're getting acquainted with dressing up like Abigail Adams, right?
Nabby Adams, yeah, who is John Adams' daughter. Yeah.
So and you're playing opposite Paul Giamatti in that. That's a miniseries? Where's
it's an HBO miniseries.
HBO
miniseries.
Comes out
in March. Yeah.
In March, okay. Mm-hmm. What is that, like, shifting gears, going back from directing and to performing?
It's been really good and really bad, like everything. I mean, I've done 3 films since the summer, and I think I really just wanted to dive headfirst back into it and sort of find out what my relationship with it is now, because I've been, you know, focusing on directing for a couple of years. And, you know, it's unbelievably fun to go from directing back to acting because of the intensity and the lack of responsibility involved, and being able to be really subjective and immersed in something. That's been great. But like anything, I had really good experiences working on things this year and really awful experiences working on things. So I think ultimately my focus will be writing and directing, but I still really want to keep acting. I think it's a really joyful thing basically to do.
Does directing inform your performance at all since you've after having done a feature?
It makes me put a lot more effort into being collaborative with directors. I think I really understand a lot more about how the editing process works and how important it is to trust somebody's vision, and how impossible it is for you to see that at the time, and how much trust you have to place in a filmmaker. So it's made me, I think, a lot easier to work with for directors, which is both good and bad for me, because, you know, sometimes you put your trust in places you shouldn't. So it is a huge leap of faith.
And in terms of your writing and your directing, what's the next project?
There's something that I'm just in the really early stages of developing, so hopefully I'll be shooting something in the fall.
While you were directing, I'm curious if there were any roles that you saw in films you thought, oh, wow, I would have really been interested in that role. Because I know there have been roles you walked away from, written about quite a bit, that Penny Lane was a role in Almost Famous that you originally were cast and said, you know, this really doesn't fit me. Mm-hmm. Have there been any roles recently you've thought, wow, that might have been really interesting?
No, it's strange. Like, I feel I never have that feeling with other actors. I'm not sure why. I think I'm sort of strangely unambitious about the whole thing. I love acting, and I feel like really lucky to be able to do it. But I've never sort of had a sort of career goals or anything like that. So I've never sort of looked at a part and thought I could do that better. In fact, usually if there's a part I really want, I can think of somebody who can do it better. problematic.
Can you just watch a movie for fun at this point, having been involved in the directing and the acting?
Yeah, I'm a really good audience member. I actually find it really hard to like pay attention to things I probably should be, as someone who's trying to learn how to make films.
Sarah Polley directed Away From Her. She recently won the New York Film Critics Award for Best First Film. Again, congratulations.
Thank
on the
so
film.
Much.
It's getting all kinds of great reviews. I know we're going into awards season, so I think we'll be hearing your name and your film a lot.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you know what? That does it for the Bryant Park Project.
That's
for this Wednesday morning, January 9th. Hey, Dan Holloway from Metro Newspapers, excellent job as co-hosting. I appreciate you helping us out.
Thanks. I appreciate you guys bringing me in here. It's a fantastic staff, and it's a great show.
Well, all right. I'm sorry you said that, because your phone will ring next week.
Good.
I'm Allison Stewart. We are available, of course, on AM, FM, satellite, online, iTunes, and always on the web at npr.org/Bryant Park. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.